From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 8th day of July, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Service will join us to take up the energy markets. In just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear from statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. A couple of them will tell us just how far along farmers are in the replant progress. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL's Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat up a penny and a quarter today. $8.23 and a quarter. The settlement price September at $8.36 and a half, up a half. And December futures from the CME Group, $8.59 and three quarters, up three quarters. That's just about the end of the green for the day. Everything else in the red. July futures in the corn pit, $6.92 and three quarters, down 23 and three quarters. September down 23 and a quarter at $7.04 and a half. And December corn futures, $7.22 and one half, down 24 and one half. March contract at $7.40. The settlement price there down 24 for the day. July soybean futures, $15.61, down 28. August at $15.49, down 30. September contract, $15.38, down 29 and a quarter. November soybeans, $15.29 and a half, down 31 and a half. July bean meal futures at $4.25.10, down $7.50 today. July bean oil at $63.38, 151 lower. August live cattle futures at $102.10, that's down 20 for the day. The October futures 85 cents lower at $108.82 and a half. August feeder cattle at $111.52 and a half, up 50 cents. And September futures up 40 from the Mercantile Exchange at $113.12 and a half. July lean hog futures $71.80, down 60 cents on the afternoon. And the August futures finished at $70.70, up 37 and a half cents for this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, a land-grant institution from the state of Illinois. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. Here's what the outside alarm markets look like this afternoon. In the crude oil, futures are trading at $136.70 a barrel. That's down $4.60, 67 cents at this hour. September futures at $136.75, down $5.28. Ethanol futures down 6 1/10 of a cent at $2.74 and 8 cents. And September futures at $2.75, down a half cent today. Natural gas trading the August contract at $12.35 and 6 cents, down 62 1/10. And the heating oil trading at $3.81 and 9 cents. That's 15 cents lower for the day. August propane futures at $1.92 and a half, up just 2 cents for the day. And the gold trading the July futures down $5.40 at $921.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands 93 points higher at 11,325. The U.S. dollar at 72.96 is up 0.26, and the CRB index at 449.98. is down 9.06 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. A flood warning is still in effect for some rivers in western Illinois. That until further notice, of course. Tonight in northern sections, it should be showery, a few thunderstorms early, and then partly cloudy. Elsewhere, periods of showers and some thunderstorms. Some storms may be severe and produce heavy rainfall this evening. Lows will range from 60 in the north to 73 in the far south. Tomorrow in northern sections, mostly sunny, a little less humid. In central sections, partly sunny with a chance of a few scattered thunderstorms. In southern sections, mostly cloudy, some periods of showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow's highs will range from 82 in the north to 86 in the south. Mostly dry and less humid weather will settle into the region from Wednesday night right on through Friday.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, better tell me about this last couple of days and the drop-off that we have had. It's been awfully big.
I'll tell you what, it was correction time. You know, we generally talk about the change of trend after the 4th of July, and boy, did it happen. You know, the weather looked much kinder and gentler. The crops improved in how they looked. You know, we've still got some rough areas out there, and we're going to be below trend line yields, but we've got the anticipation by Informa of working back up closer to them than what we were. And that, along with the crude oil deciding to set back here about $10 in the last 2 days, has really added to things, along with some index fund bumping around others. So a lot of things coming together to take some of the spiffiness out of this market.
And took some of the spiffiness out of the market, and we actually have a pretty good-sized gap in the marketplace today, don't we? On the way down.
Well, yes, we do. We gapped hard here this morning. Everybody come out of the box as sellers this morning. I don't think anybody had their hand up to buy. And, you know, like I say, then we got the big profit or the big sell off, it overreacted a little bit probably, and we saw some profit taking. The guys that may just, you know, that maybe sold the day before or sold on Friday just had some tremendous profits, and we saw a little bit of profit taking by commercials and retail houses, and some continued liquidation by some of the index funds. So we saw a roller coaster ride today, down, up, down, and a little bit of short covering coming into the close time.
I'd ask you if this was the beginning of the end, but tops are generally too hard to pick. So let me ask a different question. Despite the fact that we have the gap down, despite the fact that we've lost a lot of money in both the corn and the beans, would you tell a producer to make new crop sales and up to what level?
Additional at this point in time? No, right. We're not doing that right now, Todd, and I'll put it this way. We've made some sales. We put some puts on last week, and we feel that there can be a little bit of a bounce here. We do think we'll probably work a little bit lower before the correction here is over, but it's going to be a two-sided trade with a weak tone to the bias, but we can see a little pops in here over the next week and looking and watching, continue to watch the weather. But, you know, this crop is 3 weeks late getting in the ground. It's late. We've got a lot of time yet for a crop that's had a lot of problems along the way to say that the rally is clear over. And, you know, we're going to be a little bit cautious, but, you know, we do feel that there's a little more down movement here. But there's also a very, very big possibility that we can bounce back a little bit, or at least part of this retracement here with some weather problems.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us right here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesdays. Listening to the Closing Market Report. Please visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. Yesterday, USDA, NASS released the crop weather and progress reports. Nationally, it shows corn at or behind silking in the 18 major producing states with 6%, compared with 27% a year ago and 19% for the five-year average. Acreage in all states was silking at or behind the normal pace of development, except for Colorado, where development was slightly ahead. The most significant delays were in Illinois, Kentucky, and Missouri, where silking progress trailed the five-year average pace by 35, 43, and 42 points. Condition of the crop improved slightly from last week, with 62% of the corn crop rated in good to excellent conditions. Soybeans, 95% of the bean acreage has emerged, 3 points behind last year and the five-year average. 12% of that acreage was at or beyond the blooming stage. That's 21 points behind last year and 14 points behind the five-year rolling average. Emergence of Missouri's crop, 22 points behind the five-year average pace. While all the other states were within 9 points of normal, fields were blooming late in all states except Michigan, where the blooms were 12 points ahead of the five-year average. Development was furthest along in the lower delta, of course. Overall, 59% of the acreage rated in good to excellent condition for soybeans. That's 1 point better than last week. Winter wheat harvest now 52% complete, compared with 53% last year and 61% on average. In Kansas, dry weather allowed producers to harvest 43% of the crop during the week. Despite rains in Missouri, producers there were able to hang in and harvest 31% of their crop. Harvest nearly complete in Arkansas, California, North Carolina, and Oklahoma, and was at or behind the normal pace in most states. Now, here's an update on how things are progressing in five of the top corn-producing states of the nation.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 6, 2008. Dry, sunny weather allowed farmers to put in a good week of field work. Areas requiring replanting have either already been replanted or will most likely not dry in time to be planted this season. As of July 6, 12% of the corn and 13% of the soybeans have been replanted or will be replanted. Crops continue to rebound with the favorable weather conditions, which were also conducive for spraying. There were 6 days suitable for field work compared with 6.4 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture was rated 5% short, 76% adequate, and 19% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 1% short, 68% adequate, and 31% surplus. Corn height averaged 36 inches, 25 inches behind last year at this time, and 19 inches behind the five-year average. 96% of the soybeans have emerged behind last year and the five-year average when the crop was completely emerged in Iowa. 15% of the soybeans are blooming, 30 percentage points behind last year and 17 points behind the five-year average. The condition of both corn and soybeans was rated 57% good to excellent, compared with 53% and 56% good to excellent last week, respectively. 86% of the oat crop was headed, with 24% turning color or beyond. Heading is 13 days behind the five-year average, and the crop is turning color 1 week behind the five-year average. Oat condition rated 58% good to excellent. First cutting of alfalfa is 92% complete, 2 weeks behind the five-year average, and second cutting is 7% complete, 10 days behind the average. All hay condition rated 60% good to excellent. With the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 6, 2008, this is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Field Office in Iowa.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 6. The week ended with temperatures averaging nearly 5 degrees below normal, allowing 5.5 days suitable for field work, during which producers were able to finish planting throughout most of the state. Precipitation was also reported below normal in the northern half of the state, while the southern half reported normal to above normal precip. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 14% short, 73% adequate, and 12% surplus. Growing degree days since May 1 at 1,100 units still trail the historic average by 110. Corn growth made excellent progress last week and was measured at an average height of 47 inches. However, still trails last year's 72 inches and the five-year average of 63 inches. The crop was rated 2% very poor, 7% poor, 28% fair, 47% good, and 16% excellent, which has been a continued overall improvement in condition over the previous 2 weeks dating back to the June 23rd report. Soybean emergence is now at 96%, and 11% of the crop was reported blooming. This compares to 43% last year and 31% for the five-year average. 1% of the crop has begun setting pods, primarily in the central and eastern crop reporting districts. The soybean crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. 95% of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported ripe, and 55% had been harvested by week's end, well behind the 90% five-year harvest average. However, this year's pace is of little concern as farmers are reporting excellent wheat yields. In other crops around the state, 9% of the oat crop was ripe and ready for harvest. Sorghum was reported 13% headed, and the second cutting of alfalfa advanced to 36% complete, but still trails the 62% five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 6, 2008. For 13 of the last 14 weeks, temperatures have been below normal. This week was no exception and averaged 3 degrees below. Corn is just starting to silk. Overall, corn conditions rated 72% good or excellent, well below last year's crop rating. Soybeans are beginning to bloom and 3/4 of the crop fell into the good or excellent category. Winter wheat harvest has started but is 10 days behind the average. Oat conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Most of the crop is headed with harvest expected to start soon. Dry beans are mostly emerged and starting to bloom. 3/4 of the alfalfa acreage rated good or excellent with first cutting nearly complete and producers are moving on to second cutting. Pasture range and wild hay conditions are mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 6, 2008. Producers cut 11% of the state's first cutting of alfalfa during the past week, virtually completing the first cutting. Warm, dry weather across the state also aided small grains development, with all small grains reaching 50% or more headed stage. Producers were also able to continue spraying activities and nearly able to finish planting sweet corn. The average temperature for the week was 67.7 degrees, 1.1 degree below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, July 4th, were rated 3% very short, 21% short, 72% adequate, and 4% surplus. Statewide, there were an average of 6.3 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. As of Sunday, July 6th, the average corn height was at 34 inches compared to 64 inches last year and 46 inches for the five-year average. The average height of soybeans was 9 inches compared to 17 inches last year and 13 inches for the average. Spring wheat was 56% headed compared to 94% last year and 78% for the average. Oats were 70% headed compared to 96% last year and 85% for the average. Barley was 56% headed compared to 94% last year and 78% for the average. The first cutting of alfalfa reached 98% complete, on track with last year's pace of 98% and just ahead of the 96% for the average. As of Friday, July 4th, 72% of the corn and 68% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 82% of the spring wheat, 79% of the oats, and 81% of the barley were rated in good or excellent condition. 71% of the green peas, 54% of dry beans, 63% of the sunflowers, 55% of the canola, 69% of the alfalfa, and 63% of the pastures were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending July 6, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending July 6th. Sunshine and an increase in temperatures has resulted in tremendous growth for the corn crop. Unfortunately, uneven development across the state and even at the field level due to last month's wet conditions were reported. Some areas in the state reported that the corn plants have shallow root structure that has left the corn plants stressed from the warmer temperatures, while others in the area still report that the continued wet soil conditions resulted in yellow corn plants from a lack of oxygen. Replanting of soybeans continued in areas that were flooded in early June. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 6% short, 75% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 4% short, 71% adequate, and 24% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.1 to 3.19 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 90 to a low of 45 degrees. For the week, 4.9 days were rated as suitable for field work. 61% of the corn acreage was rated as good to excellent condition, compared with 51% last year at this time. Many farmers are hoping for normal July weather to help with the development of the corn plants to catch up. 97% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared to 99% for last year and the five-year average. 5% of the planted soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 30% for last year and 22% for the five-year average. 58% of the soybean acreage was rated as good to excellent, compared with 45% last year at this time. 38% of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested, compared with 76% for last year and 67% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 6% of the wheat has been harvested in the north, 18% in the central region, and 85% in central Indiana. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, an ADM affiliate in Chicago, joins us now to take up the energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with the break in the crude oil futures. How far have we gone down, and what does it mean?
Well, today we saw the market break another $5.50. We've broken pretty hard since the highs last week by over $10 here in a matter of 2 days. The market weakness, I think, is a function of the demand side. Certainly, the weakness in the economies in both Europe and the U.S. seems to be affecting price levels and discouraging buyers here, at least in the near term, and could mean that we'll be looking at further corrective action on the downside here over the intermediate term.
Would that be a trend for the summer to the downside, or just a short term?
My own impression is that we're still in a rather flush supply environment, and that in the absence of fresh investment demand, maybe moving from commodities back into stocks, it does allow the potential for these markets to back off here pretty significantly.
How about natural gas supplies?
Nat gas supplies has shown also a weaker trend here, falling by over $1.20 here since the highs made late last week. I think it's a combination of factors here. First of all, the situation in terms of the Gulf and the hurricane season hasn't yet to pan out, and there's no real threat out there. But also dry nat gas production, which we watch, has been surging. We're up over 6% against year-ago levels, and I think that's also starting to bear on values and making for a more flush supply situation as well.
The G8 industrial nations are meeting. President Bush is there, and they've been talking just a bit about emissions and maybe cutting them by 50% by the year 2050, and about food security as well. Any comments on what they've been up to?
Well, first, I hope I'm around in 2050, but I doubt it. But in any case, certainly the moves are afoot to control greenhouse emissions. That will certainly raise costs. Certainly, probably lower productivity in terms of energy usage, raising base costs, I think, overall. It's certainly, as you come into those kinds of situations, you're going to have to make trade-offs between the costs and benefits from those moves. And I think we have to incorporate some of the higher energy prices that we are already seeing here transpire.
Thanks much, Steve.
No problem.
Steve
Platt. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services, an ADM affiliate out of Chicago. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1497, Vasco da Gama left Lisbon with 4 ships to search for a sea route to India. He was the first European to sail there, and he opened the area to Portuguese trade and colonization. In 1810, Gabriel Gustav Valentin was born. This German-Swiss physiologist was the first to discover the digestive activity of pancreatic juice. In 1831, John Pemberton was born. Pemberton was the pharmacist who invented Coca-Cola in 1885. By the way, at first it was a tonic called French wine cola. He later modified the formula, taking out the alcohol and adding vegetable essences. Originally, the syrup was meant to cure headaches. In 1881, the ice cream sundae was invented. Edward Berner of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, put chocolate syrup over a dish of ice cream and served it to a patron at his drugstore. Why chocolate syrup? Because flavored soda water was not allowed to be served on the Sabbath. Thus, the new treat, the ice cream sundae, named after the day of the week it was created. And in 1886, it rained snails in Cornwall, England. By the way, July is one of the most prolific months of the year for raining all sorts of living creatures. The top animals likely to fall from the sky? Fish or frogs? And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. We're joined this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
A little rainfall here in the Midwest.
Yes, and especially into the western and southern areas. There's going to be some thunderstorm and shower activity that's going to be fairly active between now and through the upcoming weekend.
And then after we get past that, do we dry out?
Well, a little bit. Now, we're going to see some areas of some pretty wet weather developing in some of the northern plains areas. The Dakotas, Minnesota, northwest Iowa could still be wet, while the middle part of the Corn Belt, the southern areas and the eastern areas, will look to be a little bit drier heading into the next week.
Why don't you give me a little more detail about the weather that we have over the next several days? It's wet, you said, but how wet?
Well, it looks like rainfall amounts could be in excess of 1 to 3 inches over some areas of northern and central Missouri into southern and southwest Illinois into southern Indiana and southern Ohio. Then there may be another area of rainfall that could be heavy where we don't want to see it, and that'll be in northeast and east central Iowa.
Well, once we get that means the Mississippi will start to fill back up again.
It will. And I think this next 5 to 7 day period is going to be a period of wet weather that will be followed by some drier weather. So if we can kind of get over the hump here in the next week, I do see hopefully the outlook for this excessive rainfall to not be as much of an issue.
There's lots of wheat harvest happening around the world here in the United States. Should be happening in Ukraine, I think, too.
Yeah, and they'll be fighting a little bit of precipitation. Precipitation in the Ukraine and across most of areas of Europe is expected to be at or maybe even a little bit above average. So there might be a few delays due to some wet fields there. Nothing excessive, but some pesky delays due to a little bit of moisture could be something to watch out for.
Has their crop come through a pretty good growing season? Do you know?
Really hasn't been bad at all. Temperatures and precipitation have been quite favorable.
And how about the Chinese crops?
Well, they have had a weather pattern this spring and early summer, much like the U.S. In many areas, too much moisture. And they're continuing to have good rain chances all throughout China, some of it heavy in some of the central and southern areas.
And it's probably time to take a really early look at the southern hemisphere. Talk a little bit about what's been taking place in South America and maybe in Australia and how they're setting up for the coming growing season.
Well, so far it's been, as you'd expect, them transitioning into a winter season. Nothing has been extraordinary so far in terms of their early winter season. Argentina has been able to get a little bit of moisture. They're going to be getting a little bit more, while Brazil is a little bit on the dry side. Australia, well, they're still fighting a lot of dryness, although some of the eastern and central areas of Australia forecasted to be getting a little bit of moisture over the next week or two.
Any place else that we should talk about before I let you go for the day?
I think that'll do her.
I think we covered the planet. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.